Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry, Brookside Baptist Church, where we are applying the Word to life. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor. And yes, the Word is obviously the foundation of everything that we do. Should be. That's what we say. But is it? Because so many times our lives are directed by our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions. And many times that is in connection with our salvation experience. Well, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm going to make it. And we want to talk about that today. Pastor Brian Peterson, our discipleship pastor at Brookside, is with me in the studio. Pastor Brian, welcome. And we're excited about just hearing your testimony and then just realizing that you struggle with some of these things. Now, I realize that's hard for people to imagine that a pastor struggled over issues about that.
I sure did. Let me share with you, Pastor Greg, a little bit about how I came to know Christ. Of course, I grew up in a Christian family. My mom and dad were very faithful when it came to going to church. I grew up in Miami, Florida, and every Sunday, my mom and dad were very faithful to pack my siblings and myself up in the car and take us to church, where from a very young age, I grew up hearing the message of the gospel. I could say, like Timothy, that from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures. And for years I have given the testimony, and I very well could have been saved around the age of 8. I can remember coming home from church one night after hearing the message of salvation and also hearing about the penalty of my sin, which was ultimately hell.
Mm-hmm.
And went and talked to my dad, and my dad shared with me or reminded me of the message that I've been hearing for all those years.
Right.
And very well, it could have been that night that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. However, for many years to follow, I struggled here and there with knowing for sure, did I really accept, did I really have enough faith, or did I really believe, did I really repent?
Did you pray the right prayer?
Yeah, there was a lot of just nervousness on my part. It was after my sophomore year of high school, I had for years gotten involved in little areas of sin and gotten with the wrong crowd, you could say, as I was in junior high and going into high school and just got away from the Lord.
Right.
And after my sophomore year, going into my junior year of high school, that I went to a Christian camp. And it was during that week I heard the message of salvation. I heard the message about living for the Lord. And it was Thursday of that week that I was under great conviction. Wasn't sure whether it was that I was unsaved, that I'd never really truly believed, or whether God was just dealing with me about the life and the lifestyle I had been living for those last few years. And so I remember, in order for me to make a decision that night, as God was working on my heart, I had to get up and go by a bunch of my friends, many of them who hadn't been living for the Lord. And there were two things that were kind of holding me back. Number one, I wanted to do what I wanted to do with my friends.
Sure.
And the other thing was I had gotten into a lot of music that just clearly displeased the Lord and was living in many ways for that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, God's grace was too much. I just said, you know what? I do not want to live my life for myself. And headed to the back of the auditorium there, and I got right with the Lord.
Mm.
I asked the Lord to forgive me of the life that I had been living, and I remember tears coming down my face. In fact, the next day, I believe it was, got back to my hometown after camp was done, and I can still remember I was having to mow my neighbor's lawn, and as I was mowing their lawn, I was so happy that I was right with the Lord.
Right.
I felt like I was preaching while I was mowing my neighbor's lawn. I said, why have I lived so long away from the Lord?
Wow.
There's nothing greater than to live for the Lord. But some people ask, Brian, when did you come to Christ? I very well could have come to Christ when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There is a point in time for everybody where you come into the family.
Right.
The Bible calls that justification. It's a point in time, an event, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and we are adopted into his family.
Mm-hmm.
That very well could have been when I was 8 years old. It could have been that I just got away from him for a while, but I believe it took place by the time I was 16.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people get nervous when they get asked, when did you come to Christ? And they can't give a date. And I often tell people, you know what, I'm not sure when I got saved.
Right.
And I often share this. The best evidence for past faith is present faith.
Exactly.
Am I depending on Jesus Christ to save me from sin and hell?
So the question is not necessarily when did you, but did you?
Yeah. Are you depending
mm-hmm.
now?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people can trace it to when they first put their faith in Jesus Christ. For me, I was worried. I don't have a particular date. Some people would trust, say, someone wrote in my Bible, I got saved on this date, and they trust that. And it's wonderful to have a little date in your Bible, but it's not a date in the Bible that's going to save you. What's going to save you is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And you have had to have placed your faith in him and believe that he died on the cross for your sins
mm-hmm.
and accepted that free gift. And it very well could have been when I was 8, could have been when I was 16, but it did happen. And oftentimes I tell people when we talk about this is if I was to walk up to you and say, Pastor Greg, I want you to prove to me that you're alive. You wouldn't have to go back to your hometown or to your file cabinet and pull out your birth certificate and say, here, see, Pastor Brian, I'm alive. You see my little feet here on this birth certificate.
Right,
you see
right.
This date. I am alive. No, all you do is you look at me and say, here I am.
I'm breathing.
I'm breathing. I'm living.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. A person who is a believer is someone who believes the truths of the gospel. And whether you can remember that exact date or not,
mm-hmm.
the important thing is the best evidence for past faith is present faith. And am I depending on Jesus Christ?
So are you saying that assurance is something that everybody ought to have?
Yes, I would say very much so. And let me take this a little bit farther. I got right with the Lord or possibly got saved when
sure.
I was 16.
Right.
But even after that point, I had struggles when it came to knowing for sure I was on my way to heaven. Believe it or not, I came home from camp and I was telling you how excited I was that I was right with the Lord. But over the next even few years, every once in a while I'd have these doubts. To the point of when I finally got to college, I had decided or believed that God was calling me into the ministry. And I had begun to study for the ministry,
okay.
majored in Bible in college. But even through those years, I continued to doubt whether I was saved or not.
Mm.
It wasn't like an every night thing, but every once in a while I'd hear a message and I'd get worried. Did I truly believe? Did I do enough? And I got into the habit of doubting my salvation. You hear about men and even women having thinking problems or they have lustful problems in their minds and they develop
sure.
a habit of thinking wrong.
Right.
I believe I got into a habit of just doubting God and doubting what his word said and believing what it said. And so for many years, I just struggled with this. And honestly, I never thought I would ever see victory over this area of assurance. I said, you know what, I'm going to have to just constantly struggle with this. And I was a guy who said, yeah, I think he saved me, but I don't know if I'll ever have assurance. And that just got me.
What a way to live.
Yeah, it's a horrible place to be because
mm-hmm.
here I was wanting to live for the Lord and wanting to do things for the Lord. And all of a sudden this little, you could say, voice came up and said, but maybe you're not saved. And it would just plunge me back into despair. And this led up to, I believe it was my junior year of college. So here I am studying for the ministry. In fact, at some point I felt more assured that I was called to the ministry at times than I was.
And you were saved.
Yeah, than I was saved. And I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to various people about this
mm-hmm.
and them sharing different truths from God's word. And I said, okay, yeah, I need to do that or I need to memorize that. And then it would often come back to just this habitual problem of doubting my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was during my junior year that I was asked to travel on an evangelistic team for the school that I was attending. And as I was getting ready to travel on this team, it was kind of our training week. I ended up talking to one of the leaders of the group and just saying, you know, I've had a problem with this. And I remember him sharing with me some very key truths that God used. And where it ended up culminating was he asked me, Brian, what do you believe? And I began to share with him what I believe. He says, Brian, that is the gospel. And maybe the first step for you to do is just get down on your knees and tell God what you believe and declare your dependence upon him. You may not remember all this stuff that's happened in the past, but you remind God, God, this is what I believe about you. And begin to ask God to give you full assurance. And so that's what I began to do. And I can share with you some of the passages that God used.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear those.
One of the passages that he shared with me that was very helpful was from 1 John chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people who've struggled with assurance, when I mention 1 John chapter 5, they immediately think of 1 John chapter 5 verse 13,
mm-hmm.
which is a key text when it comes to assurance. However, the ones that God really used in my life were verses 14 and 15. And 13, he says, basically, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Then when you get to verse 14, he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to verse 14, he says, if I ask anything of God that is according to his will,
mm-hmm.
he promises to hear me.
Right.
And at that point, I remember him sharing with me, Brian, do you believe it's God's will that you have full assurance and not have to doubt constantly? And I said, yeah, I do. I believe that's what he wants. Well, according to this verse, this is the confidence that you can have in God, that if you ask anything of him according to his will, he promises to hear you. So, Brian, you need to ask the Lord to give you full assurance, which led me in many ways to, in some ways, a study of, okay, is it God's will that people know for sure they're on their way to heaven? And I realize that is a key truth. In fact, we can talk about that some more.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about it some more because we've run out of time. But I am very interested in what you're talking about because as a counseling pastor, I'm talking to people all the time who are struggling with assurance. And yes, verse 13 is the verse that we often go to, but verses 14 and 15, I want you to pick up on that this next time and just help us to understand how the Lord used those verses in your life. If you're listening to our broadcast and you are struggling, or you have struggled, or maybe you've got some friends that are struggling with assurance of salvation, be sure to tune in this next time to be able to continue to hear what Pastor Brian is sharing with us and how to apply the Word to your life. Until next time, we trust the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.